Bibles, please, and let's open together one last time to 1 Peter chapter 2. We are in, this is the last part, we're in part 3 of a 3-part series on growth, spiritual growth. And we're talking about the pure milk of God's Word, what God wants you to want out of the Bible, and how to get it, and why to get it, and so forth. So 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. We've talked about some of the prerequisites for spiritual growth. We've talked about what pure milk is. Today, our focus is going to be, how is it, or in what specific ways does God want you to grow as a Christian, and why does He want you to grow in those ways? All right, that's our focus for today. 1 Peter 2, verses 1 to 3. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Well, let's start there. The Lord is gracious, isn't He? Some of your Bibles say, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. And we say that all the time. God is good. By the way, those words in 1 Peter 2, verse 3, tasting that the Lord is gracious, that is a reference back to Psalm 34. And in Psalm 34, the Lord's goodness is on display as a Savior. In Psalm 34, David gives testimony of how the Lord had delivered him from all of his troubles. And then he gives testimony of other people, of how the Lord had delivered them out of their troubles. And in the end, Psalm 34 is a testimony to God's goodness as a Savior. Well, that's the idea here as well. In some of your Bibles, verse 2 reads a little differently than what I read. Take a look again at verse 2. It really should read like this. It should read, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby unto salvation, or for the cause of salvation. Verse 2 refers to the fact that God wants you to grow all the way unto complete and final maturity, and that maturity will be realized when you enter into the kingdom of God. So this growth is all the way unto eternal salvation. On the one hand, the gospel teaches that when you believe in Jesus Christ, you become saved. And I can say about you, if you've trusted in Christ, if you've been born again, you're already saved. But I can tell you also that you are in the process of being saved. 1 Corinthians 15:2 teaches that very clearly. You are still in this process of being sanctified, which is part of your salvation. And I can also say to you from the Bible that one day, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you will be saved. That's the salvation that's in mind here. Your future eternal salvation from even the presence of sin and from this present evil age. And part of God's goodness is that He has given us the means by which we continually grow all the way unto salvation. And the means is His Word. This is the means by which God sanctifies you. This is the means by which God gets you all the way unto your eternal salvation. And here, what we've learned is that Christ commands all Christians to desire the pure milk of the Word, that you might grow thereby. We've answered what this pure milk is. It's truth. When you come into God's Word, you should be desiring truth. And that is that you may grow thereby. But here's a question that we haven't dealt with. And Peter doesn't deal with it here, but I felt that it was well worth looking at. And the question is, well, in what all ways should you grow as a Christian? It's kind of like the question I asked the kids this morning. Well, how can you tell if a Christian is growing? Where would you see that growth? It's not that we get heavier. It's not that we grow taller. It's not that suddenly we're able to talk where we couldn't talk before, though we may speak a little bit differently. And Peter does not address in this context all the areas in which you should be growing as a Christian, but he does in his next letter. So we're going to take a little detour to 2 Peter chapter 1. I'd like you to turn over there if you would. Just turn the page probably. And let's look at the areas in which God wants every Christian to keep on growing. The areas in which God wants every Christian to keep on growing over time. And then we'll ask the question, well, why? Why does God want us to be growing in these areas over time? time. All right, those are our two questions for this morning. How or in what ways should a Christian be growing over time? If you look at 2 Peter chapter 1, Paul speaks to this, and he gives us a list of areas in which you should be growing. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 5. He says, but also for this very reason, now stop there, the reason is that you've been saved. Okay? The reason, if you go back to verse 4, is that you have escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. This world is filled with various lusts, and because of all the fleshly lusts that exist, you live in a world that's filled with corruption. But you have been delivered out of that through faith in Jesus Christ. And in verse 4, he even says, through these, through the precious promises of God, you become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world on account of all the lusts. So verse 5, he says, but also for this very reason, since you've been saved, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. And verse 8 says, for if these things are yours and increasing, abounding, growing, if these eight things that he just listed are a part of your life and are increasing over time, verse 8 he says, then you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what are these eight areas in which you can and should be growing as a Christian? Let's look. Verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Let's stop there. Faith. He begins with faith. This is foundational. And he's speaking here about faith in Jesus Christ. So here's the question. Can faith in Jesus Christ grow stronger over time? Yes, absolutely. And he's saying, giving all diligence, that should become stronger. In verse 8, he says, if this is yours, then it is increasing. If we could plot your growth on a chart, which some of us grew up that way, right? We grew up in a home, and it was a big deal to everyone in our house. All right, I'll stand up in that doorway, and we'd stand up as tall as we could. I sometimes kind of stand on tiptoes, and like, let's mark off your growth. Mine ended off early in life for some reason. Some of you, it's like you're still going. I don't know where Justin said it, but already we're like beyond the doorway, and now we got to get him outside the house. If we could plot your Christian growth over time, if we could measure your faith, that faith should be increasing. Your confidence in Jesus Christ should be increasing. Your confidence in the Word of God should be increasing. So faith is an area in which we can and should grow as a Christian over time. How does it happen? You desire the pure milk of the Word like a newborn baby so that you may grow thereby in your faith. What's the second one? Verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Some of your Bibles say moral excellence. And commentators kind of go all over the board as to exactly what this is. I would say this, having studied this out. Virtue is the moral resolve to do the right thing. That's what virtue is. If you are a virtuous person, you have the moral courage, the moral resolve. I want to do the right thing, whatever that costs, whatever that means. I just want to do the right thing. And that should be increasing over time. You know, when you're a newborn Christian, you want to do the right thing, but you don't have the same moral courage and resolve as somebody who's been a Christian for 30 years. 50 years, 80 years, 90 years. Mrs. Potter always looks at me and waits for me to get her number. Over time, you should have increasing moral courage, more resolve to do the right thing. How does that happen? As newborn babes, desire the milk of the Word that you may grow thereby in your virtue, in your moral courage, in your moral strength to do the right thing. What's the next one? Verse verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence to your faith, virtue to knowledge. You know, you might have moral courage, moral resolve to do the right thing, but you don't know what is the right thing. And we deal with this, right? I'm not sure what's the right thing here. Do I do this, or do I do this? Or which is better, is this more excellent, or is this more excellent? And you know what, over time, that should be increasing. Your knowledge, your discernment about what exactly is the right thing to do in various circumstances, that should increase over time. We don't expect that a new believer in Christ is going to have the same discernment. As somebody who has been around for 30 years, 50 years, 90 years.
Right?
This should be increasing over time.
So what is he saying?
Verse 5. For this very reason, since you're a new believer in Christ, or since you have believed in Christ and been saved, giving all diligence, remember that,
add to your faith in Jesus Christ virtue.
The resolve to do the right thing.
And that's knowledge. What is right?
How would you do that?
By means of the Word of God.
Over time, the Word of God instructs you as to what is right and what is wrong.
And really, after a while,
you just know the right thing to do.
Why?
Because you know the Word so well.
What's next?
Verse 6.
Knowledge implied self-control.
That is the inner strength to hold back from the wrong.
So you see the flow here?
Add to your faith in Jesus Christ.
The moral resolve to do the right thing.
But in order to do the right thing, you need to know the right, right, wrong.
And then you also need the self-control to keep back from doing the wrong thing.
And over time, if you're a Christian, we should see increasing self-control.
Maybe when you were in Christ, you just couldn't hold back from that yet.
But then you were three years old in Christ.
And now you're 15 in Christ.
And now you're five in Christ.
You know what? We're hoping, expecting, and praying to see increasing self-control.
The ability to say, you know what, I just don't need that anymore.
I don't have to have the final word.
I don't have to review sharply every time.
I can be patient here.
You should have more control over your tongue.
There's a tough one, right?
But we should see increasing self.
How?
As new born babes, desire the pure milk of the word,
that you may grow thereby in self-control.
What's the next one?
Verse 6.
The knowledge adds self-control, and perseverance.
What's perseverance?
That's the ability over time to do the right thing and hold back from doing the wrong thing.
Now we're talking about endurance, right?
The ability, even in the midst of trials, to control yourself and do the right thing.
Even when the cost is great.
Even when there's a lot at stake.
This is spiritual growth, right?
Now we start with the Lord is good.
The Lord is gracious.
God wants you to see you grow in your faith in Jesus Christ.
In your moral resolve to do the right thing.
In your knowledge of what is right versus what is wrong.
In your ability to hold back from doing the things that are wrong.
Self-control.
And in your ability to endure all the trials and temptations.
And have those things be true.
You're still growing.
You're still resolved to do the right thing.
You're still holding back from the wrong thing,
even though the trials are heavy.
This is spiritual growth.
This is how you can tell if someone is growing in Christ.
What's next?
Here's a big verse.
Verse 6.
To knowledge adds self-control.
To self-control, perseverance.
To perseverance, godliness.
Godliness.
This one is really broad.
What is godliness?
Well, you know what it sounds like, right?
It sounds like God-likeness.
And that's what it is.
Godliness is being like God to the extent that a mere mortal can be like God.
What's another word for godliness?
Christ-likeness.
Right?
That's because Christ came and Christ is God in the flesh.
And when Jesus came, he showed the degree to which a man should be like God.
So, We're going to take a detour because we're going to add some more to the list.
In what ways can someone demonstrate godliness?
In what ways can a Christian grow to be more like Jesus Christ?
So keep your finger here in 2 Peter 1 and turn back a few pages towards the front of your Bible to Galatians 5.
Galatians 5 is well known not just for the list of deeds of the flesh,
but also for the list of that which is the fruit of your spirit.
In Galatians 5, we are given the fruit of the Spirit, and that is the fruit that the Spirit of Jesus Christ produces in you.
Many of us have memorized this list.
Okay? Take a look at it and be thinking now about growth.
Galatians chapter 5, verse, I got to get to it myself.
Galatians chapter 5, verse 22.
But the fruit of your Spirit, stop there.
The fruit that the Spirit of Jesus Christ in you produces over time.
That's what this means.
The fruit of your Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control.
Now here is a list of nine more areas in which a Christian can and should grow.
In other words,
over time,
as you follow Christ,
as you long for the pure milk of his word that you may grow thereby,
as you read the Bible, study the Bible,
meditate on the Bible,
as you hear it taught,
you should be becoming more loving.
Right?
Which is what one of the kids said this morning.
You should be becoming more loving.
That's the second one.
You should be becoming more...
What is it?
Joyful.
Let's just stop for a second and think...
Wouldn't it be great if over time you became just more loving and more joyful?
That would be wonderful.
It'd be good for you. It'd be good for everybody around you. It'd be good for your family.
Over time, you should be becoming more loving, more joyful.
What's the next one?
More peaceful.
More long-suffering.
More kind.
More good.
More faithful,
more gentle or meek,
which has to do with less retaliatory,
right?
Gentle and meek. Gentleness and meekness has to do with how you respond when you are provoked.
Over time, you should become more gentle or meek
and more self-controlled.
And it says, against these, there's no law.
So now turn back to 2 Peter chapter 1.
We're getting quite the list.
Actually, when I taught at another camp last week, we went through these verses and we came up with a list about 50 areas in which they thought that Christians could grow and should grow over time. We're not going to exhaust that list today, don't worry.
But so far, we have faith,
virtue,
knowledge,
self-control,
perseverance,
and godliness,
and along with godliness would be all the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians chapter 5, which is nine more.
Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control.
What's the next one?
Verse 7.
To godliness add brotherly kindness.
Now what is brotherly kindness?
It's the word Philadelphia.
Brotherly love.
Love for fellow believers.
Love for the brothers and the sisters in the church.
Add that, he says.
That should be increasing over time.
We don't expect a new believer to love the brethren or to love the church as much as a seasoned saint.
But we do expect somebody who's been around the word for a long time to have a great love for the church.
You know what?
I'm sorry, but people who say they're Christians but demonstrate no love for the church,
what is that evidence of?
Unbelief.
It's an evidence of unbelief. We should not mask the truth. We should not be deceived.
And Peter's going to get to that, to the heart of it.
We should not be deceived. These things need to be increasing.
Brotherly kindness, and finally, and to brotherly kindness, love, agape.
And the greatest of these is
love.
This is Christ-like love. This is love even for your enemies. And this is love not in word only, but in deeds.
in works. Love that can be seen in the things you're willing to do for other people, even if it means sacrifice. Notice what he says. For if these things are yours and abounding or increasing, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to our second question, which is, why would Christ want to see you increasing or growing in all these areas? And there are three answers. And the first one has to do with your work. Okay? Your work. Notice again verse 8. For if these things are yours and increasing, then you will be neither... Now, my Bible says barren, which sounds a lot like unfruitful. There's a better translation of that word, and it's the word idle, I-D-L-E. You're not going to be idle. You're not going to be not working. And that's really the meaning of the word. If these things are yours and increasing, then you will not be not working. You're not going to be idle. You're not going to be not serving. You're going to be serving. You're going to be serving Christ. And you're not going to be not fruitful in the work that you do. You're going to be serving Jesus Christ, and you're going to be bearing fruit for God. The first reason for why Christ wants you to be growing spiritually is because he wants you to be working, and he wants you to be bearing fruit to the glory of God. So he says, verse 8, if these things are yours and increasing, you will not be not working, and you'll not be not fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then he looks at the other side of it, verse 9. For he who lacks these things, somebody who's lacking in faith, lacking in virtue, the moral resolve to do the right thing, lacking in knowledge or discernment, lacking in self-control, lacking in perseverance and godliness and brotherly kindness and love, he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. That is a terrible picture of someone's spiritual state. Short-sighted, blind, forgetful. Now, there are some here who say, well, I guess that means that you can be a believer in Jesus, get cleansed from your sins, and not grow anymore. He didn't say that. He doesn't go that far. And whether he's talking about a believer or an unbeliever in verse 9, he doesn't make crystal clear. But I would say this to you, and he is speaking to those who are still in the church. Here's what I would say to you. If you, in your walk with Christ, are lacking the moral resolve to do the right thing, if you're lacking a knowledge of right and wrong, if you're lacking the ability to hold back from the wrong, if you're lacking endurance, if you're lacking godliness, if you're lacking brotherly kindness and love, you're in a bad spiritual condition. And the only right response to this would be to repent of that and to start applying all diligence so that these things would be yours and increasing. And you want to know why? Verse 10. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. You should make sure that you are saved. How would you do that? You would do that by being very diligent to add the things that he has said to add. You would be very diligent to make sure that you grow up, that you go forward and not backward. Be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure, and here's why. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and for in this way an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, a lot of the jokes that people tell that are church-related are jokes about what happens at the gate. And who's always at the gate? Peter. Peter's always at the gate, right? And the jokes are always, well, St. Peter's standing at the gate. Well, I'll tell you what. Do you want to see Peter and all the apostles, and moreover, do you want to see Jesus Christ at the gate welcoming you with open arms? That is the picture he gives here. He says, verse 11, for in this way an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly. The gates will be sprung wide open. There will be a welcoming committee. And you will get full, immediate access into the kingdom. How? Verse 11. For so. For in this way. For by you continually growing spiritually all the way to the end, in the end,
an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Why does God want you to keep on growing? Well, the first and most basic reason is work, so that you won't be not working and you won't be not fruitful. Another one is entrance, salvation. God wants you to be saved all the way to the end. He doesn't want you to fall away from the faith. Turn back now just for a moment to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, and I'll show you two more reasons for why God wants you to be constantly growing. Two more reasons why God wants you to be constantly growing. One of them is worship, and the other is witness. Work, worship, and witness. Notice 1 Peter 2, verse 4. Coming to him as to a living stone, which means as you keep coming to Jesus Christ, as though coming to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also, as living stones, are being built up. You're being strengthened. You're growing into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. This is a verse about worship. And the way that you worship is directly related to your spiritual growth. A more mature Christian worships God better than a brand new Christian. And here, this looks at our corporate growth. As we together, as a church, as a family, as we together keep coming to Christ and to His Word, we are being strengthened into a spiritual house where, as a church, as a holy priesthood, we offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You want to know what an example is of a spiritual sacrifice? Giving thanks. Just what we did at the beginning of our service. Right? When we have young people coming up and saying, I just want to thank you, I want to thank God, that is a beautiful thing. And that is something that God desires to see. So worship, our corporate worship, is one of the reasons why God wants us to keep on growing. And finally, one more is our corporate witness. Look at verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light, who once were not a people but are now the people of God, and who had not obtained mercy but now have obtained mercy. This too gets to the purpose for why God has chosen us and set us apart. That you might together keep on proclaiming, keep on voicing, keep on making known abroad the praises, the excellence of the one who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. So let's review and let's apply. What have we learned? The God of heaven wants every Christian to want the pure milk of His Word. The God of heaven wants every Christian to want the pure milk of His Word. Is there anything that has to happen first? Yes. We learned that in part one. You have to be born again, and you must lay aside your sin. If you're not born again, you're not going to grow. And if you are still living in sin, toying with sin, flirting with sin, you're not going to grow. If that's you today, if you're here today and you've not trusted in Christ as your Savior, or you've not left behind some old sin, when we go to prayer, this is the time for that. Second thing we addressed, what exactly is it that God wants us to want from His Word? What is the pure milk? It's truth, gospel truth. Whether you're reading Old Testament narrative or whether you're reading the Psalms or the Proverbs or the prophets, God wants you to go in there looking for gospel truth, truths about God, truths about Christ, about salvation, about sin, about the church, about the future. When you read your Bible this week, go in looking for truth. If you don't know how to find truth, get someone to help you. Why does God want us to want the truth from His Word? So that we would grow spiritually. What are the ways that we can grow spiritually? We just went through a list. And if you want to review them, 2 Peter 1, 5-8, and Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And we listed about 15 ways in which a Christian could grow, which is not exhaustive. Can a Christian grow in wisdom? Yep. And we didn't hit that one. Can a Christian grow in self-denial? Yes, and we didn't hit that one. Can a Christian become more humble? Yes, and we didn't hit that one. So homework, you could list more ways in which a Christian can grow. Why does God want us to keep growing in those ways? For the sake of our work, so that we wouldn't be not working, and so that we wouldn't be not fruitful. for the sake of our worship, so that we would all together be offering spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God, and for the sake of our witness, so that we would all be furthering the gospel of Jesus Christ. I hope that over time you will take to heart the things that we've talked about in these lessons. I hope that you will be desiring, like a newborn babe, actively and boldly and continuously and diligently, the pure milk of the word so that you might grow thereby. Let me give you three practical, very practical tips to that end. Number one, they all begin with the S sound, but they don't all begin with the S. Number one, Psalm 1. That's a practical tip. Be meditating on the Word of God in your own time, day and night. Psalm 1. Number two, this was Pastor Jerry's favorite. He greets you, by the way. Pastor Jerry's doing well, and so is Wanda, and they send their greetings. But Pastor Jerry always gave a second one, show up. Show up. I asked a question in Sunday school this morning. I won't ask for a show of hands, but we talked about areas in which Christians may differ and have differing convictions. And so I'd ask you, is it okay for a Christian to skip church for no good reason? And I really wanted to see a show of hands on that, because then I wanted to say, okay, now, is it okay for a Christian to skip Sunday school for no good reason? Based on the numbers, half the hands would go down. But you know, Brother John and I and others too prepare Sunday school lessons. We work hard. I know Brother John works very hard. And I work pretty hard by comparison to him to prepare a good Sunday school lesson. Show up. Come to Sunday school. It's a great time to learn. It's a great time to discuss. It's a great time to ask questions. So Psalm 1, be meditating on the Word of God in your own time. Show up whenever you can, when the Bible's being taught, to Sunday school and church and Bible studies. And third, serve. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you should be serving in some way. If you can't come and serve in the church, like at Kids Club and Awana and in various ways in the church, physically you just can't, then serve by praying and serve by giving and serve by encouraging those who are showing up and serve by thanking them for showing up when you can't. Psalm 1, show up and serve. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for how you encourage us. We thank you that you're gracious. We thank you that you're patient and long-suffering with us. And we thank you that for these past 3 weeks you've encouraged us in every way to keep growing. And I pray that for your glory and for the gospel and for our own good, we would take these things to heart and desire the pure milk of your word. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.